Okay, now you're working. Pesky, pesky, pesky. What? Oh, hi. How are you? It's me. It's Doug. It's, boy. Tuesday, December 20th, 2023. Welcome. Welcome to the Slug is Doug podcast. I have not seen you in a very, very long time. Well, I haven't seen you, and you haven't heard from me. Last episode was August 19th, when Clara turned 12. That was episode 118. And before that was my birthday, May 25th, I guess, when I celebrated Windsor Pizza. I don't even know if I discussed it being my birthday. Who cares, really? It was just yet another day, right? Well, hello, how are you? I know it has been a very long time. I was trying to think of some other way to describe a long time, but alas, I was lacking in the mental acuity or ability to do so. So suffice to say, it's been a long time since I've been here, and I've already said that, what, 3-4 times now? This is why you tune in, isn't it? So like I say, it is 5 days before Christmas. It is the 20th of December. I'm sitting in the parking lot at Scarborough Town Center. I just went inside. It's 10 up, just 10:15, just coming up on 10:15. And it's empty. Place is empty. So I don't know when everybody's going to be doing all their rushed holiday shopping, but I guess maybe it doesn't happen at 9:30 or so in the morning on a Tuesday before Christmas. But luckily, I just needed to go in and pick up something from one of the stores that had been set aside for us, and got a few extra things while I was there and wandered around the mall and finished up a bit more Christmas shopping, ending it with a visit to Laura Secord Chocolatiers. I think they're still called the Chocolatier. I don't know. But boy, did that ever bring back memories of when I was a kid, of going down to the Devonshire Mall in Windsor, where they had a Laura Secord there. I think it was pretty close to the, I want to say the Sneaky Pete's, but I think Sneaky Pete's was at Tecumseh Mall. So it was close to one of the restaurants, I believe, or the movie theater that was in the Devonshire Mall when I was a kid. And I think that probably every year I would get some small selection of chocolates from my mother, from Laura Secord. And that was my Christmas gift to her, it seemed, for many years in a row. Usually it meant that I got to enjoy the chocolates. Mom liked her sweets, but she didn't overindulge. And she shared well. So when I walked in this morning and, I was walking by, I was making an exit. I had 4 rolls of wrapping paper in my arm and stupidly didn't get a bag. So I was kind of fumbling with them as I was walking out the exit of the mall. Having finished the majority of the shopping that I needed to do at Scarborough Town Center, I walked by that Laura Secord there, just, I guess, near exit 7, if you really need to know. And flashed back to those days. And I said, you know, we need some Laura Secord chocolate in the house. So I got a couple of gift boxes of chocolates that some very lucky young women in my house will receive for Christmas. And maybe I'll have a little bite or two. And I also got a couple things for myself. Ooh, I left those in the trunk. I'll have to get those at the next stop. So it's been a minute, hasn't it? I guess last we spoke, I was working on a television show. I had been for several months. Well, I've since finished that one and started a new one. I started that back in the beginning of November, I believe. Summer around there. And on November 11th, they flew me down to Washington, D.C. to measure Ben's Chili Bowl. Which, if you know anything about Washington, D.C., you would know that Ben's Chili Bowl was a pretty much a historic site in Washington. It is more than a restaurant. It is a hub or has been a hub and still is a hub for civil rights movement, for Black Lives Matters movement, for community outreach. It's been the center of U Street. It has been the anchor of U Street for many, many, many years, since 1958, in fact. It was amazing to be able to be afforded the opportunity to go down and measure this place. I'll let you guess what the reason is. I can't probably tell you the full reason of why I was measuring it, but I got down to visit it and survey it and take some measurements. And I met the current owner, or one of the current owners, or actually, I guess a couple of the current owners, and the wife and co-founder of Ben's Chili itself. If you don't know Ben's Chili, it is a great place in Washington, D.C. on U Street, which at one point was known as Black Broadway. This was the place where any of the, most of these sort of famous Black musicians and such, and I'm guessing maybe some other musicians, but whenever a show or an entertainer came into Washington and was, you know, performing for basically the white community elsewhere, they would eventually come to U Street, I guess, and perform there so that the Black community could go and see these shows. And it was quite a scene, apparently. And Ben Ali came to the U.S., I guess. I think this is the only reason. I think this is why he came to the U.S., was to go to Howard University for dentistry. While he was there, I guess he developed some sort of chili recipe. I don't know if he ever graduated from dentistry. I should really find that part out. He met his eventual wife, Virginia. She was a bank teller in one of the banks that he would go to. He passed her a note at some point, which these days may get you in trouble. Passed her a note eventually saying, call me. Let's go out. She didn't call him because back then ladies did not call men. But they eventually did get introduced, or they did see each other and they talked and they went out and they fell in love. And together they invested in an old theater on U Street. The name was in my head and now it's gone. But there was an old theater on U Street right next to the Lincoln Theater that they converted into a sandwich. Basically, I think it was a sandwich shop to begin with that sold chili. And I think it was originally called Ben's Chili Bowl. And he got known for his chili recipe. It was really good. In fact, I had some while I was there and I can vouch for it. It was very, very good. What was even better were most people call them hot dogs, but they're not hot dogs. They're sausages. It's called a half smoke, and it has half beef and half pork. It's a sausage, apparently originally a breakfast sausage. And I guess it's kind of smoked a bit. And so they just fry the sausage up on the flat top to a delicious caramelized color and stickiness and gooiness and yumminess. Put it on a slightly steamed bun with some yellow mustard, onions, and this delicious, delicious chili that they make. Serve that with a bit of fries or whatever, and then have some, I think it's banana pudding that Virginia brought to the whole thing. It was delicious. It's absolutely delicious. I ate one of those, they call it a chili half smoke for the chili dog. And I kid you not, for at least the next week, I dreamt about it. It was so damn good. But more than a restaurant that served up delicious hot dogs, Ben's Chili was, as I said earlier, at the center of the civil rights movement in the United States, especially during the 60s. And Dr. Martin Luther King himself had an office down the street, and he apparently would frequent Ben's Chili Bowl while he was working and writing. And he would discuss his views and his hopes and desires. And at one point, apparently, according to Virginia, when I was speaking to her, his dream. So when I walked in the doors, it was powerful. It was powerful to feel what a important place this was. You recognize sort of the importance of some of these places when you read about them and you see pictures and stuff like that. But when you actually walk into one, a place where great minds have met, great community leaders have met and spoken and discussed and listened and just lived, really, while eating a chili dog, even. There's something that affects you. And on the walls of this place, there is photograph after photograph of famous, actors, singers, musicians, artists, authors, news people, black and white, and all races on the wall who have come to make the pilgrimage to Ben's Chili and taking their picture in front of the same wall over and over again. And with, one of the many owners, one of the members of the family, and these photographs adorn the walls of this place. And it is just steeped in history. After Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated, U Street, the street on which Ben's Chili still resides or lives or exists, U Street burned. There were riots. The only place that didn't burn, one of the only places, was Ben's Chili. Ben wrote with soap on the windows of his restaurant, Soul Brother. And I guess that helped to keep some of the rioters from making any damage. But it was agreed upon by both sides, the police and the rioters, that this was going to be a safe place for people to come. There's going to be a safe place for people to come and get some food and maybe get some rest, get a moment of what is this guy doing? Okay, he's backing into his parking spot. Sorry, I'm distracted by some interesting driving on the street or in the parking lot in front of me. It was a safe spot for everyone to come and spend a moment, get some food, refocus, and either go back and do what they were doing or discuss or talk or try to calm down. But that was the specialness that was this place. It was a community hub. And when I was there and I was measuring this place, the owners themselves were, and even the workers, were extremely kind. Now, they were probably extra kind to me because I was a visitor from Toronto who was coming to measure them for some television show. So that maybe added a bit to their kindness toward me. But I did witness many people come into there who they came in and they were greeted with a smile and a hello, and maybe a bit of chit chat. And I think to the person, each one that I saw leave had a smile on their face or was comforted in some way. And you could feel it. There was something about that place that you could just feel the importance of it. President Obama, when he was first elected, I think it was his first public outing, I believe as president-elect, I'm not sure if it was as president, but as president-elect, he went to Ben's Chili. He got himself a half-smoked chili dog. There's a huge photograph on the wall of him there. It was wonderful to talk to Virginia. Ben has passed. He's passed a few years ago. But to hear Virginia still speak with hope for America. Hope for Black Americans, for people of color in America. I mean, it was hard for me as a white male, privileged white male, to be there and to understand what it was that they were fighting against and what it was that was essentially causing a large portion of the problems that they had. People like myself. And yet, they welcomed me with smiles and kindness. And hope. Happiness. Jokes. It was really, really, it was moving. It still is. I think you can hear it in me. So that was fun. But the craziness of all that was I woke up at 2 in the morning. The flight was, I believe, at 7 a.m. Had to get to the airport, I think they recommended 4 hours early or 3 hours early. I can't remember which. I think it's 3 hours early. So I got at the airport at 7. No, sorry, at 4. I think it was 4:30 in the morning. So sorry, I woke up at 3. Got to the airport for 4:30. Went with a colleague from work, and we needed essentially the full time that we were there to get through security before we were able to board on the plane. It took forever. I don't know what is going on at Pearson. I don't know why it takes so long for people to get through security in the morning, but it was crazy. The flight brought us down to DC. We were delayed in our landing because it was a rainy day. It was a very rainy day. I think that there was a tropical storm that was coming up the East Coast and it was affecting the weather. It was super chuck down rainy. So we were stuck doing laps around Baltimore for about 30 minutes before we could land. Once we landed, we made our way. It was very nice to be picked up by a Black Suburban limo driver, drove us down to where we needed to be. I didn't get to see much of sort of the capital area of Washington, D.C. And in retrospect, I don't give a shit. I don't care. I think I saw the most important place that I could possibly see there. At least to my mind right now. We couldn't get into Ben's right away to measure, so we had until about noon to kind of fill our time. It was so rainy. We were originally hoping to try to make a little quick trip down to the Capitol area and sort of see some of the sights, but it was just too rainy. So we got some umbrellas, we had our raincoats, and we wandered around just in the immediate area. And then we went to the Chili Bowl a little early to start measuring. And thank God we went as early as we did, because we needed the full time. We were there until just before 6 o'clock, measuring and documenting the snot out of the place. And then we flew back. We were driven out to the airport. Our flight was delayed because of the weather. It was delayed many hours. So we sat at the airport bar having beers. Got on the plane, and I arrived back home and was back in bed by 2 a.m. So it was a 23-hour day. I was absolutely exhausted, but I think it paid off in the end. The personal experience that I had of doing that was quite something. And the work that I did involved with the information that I gathered from going down, I think will be quite something in the end. So I think that's paid off. So that was back in November 11th. That was probably at the end of my first week of work on this new job. And now on last Friday, the 16th, was our last day before going on Christmas holidays until the new year. I go back on January 3rd. So it's been a bit of a nice couple of days. I basically have done diddly squat since I got off. Have refused to do anything, cooking or cleaning or otherwise. And today's the day. Today is the day to start doing some things. The cleaners are in the house right now, which is nice, so I don't have to do as much cleaning. Always good to have a nice clean house before Christmas. We got HelloFresh coming to the house. So we've been trying this out. This is our third or fourth week. And we have found that it's actually been quite good for us. We get 3 meals a week for 2 people each. It gives us enough for the 3 of us to eat. And it takes a lot of the stress out of menu planning for the week and grocery shopping for the week. My wife is actually cooking, which is fantastic. And it's not driving her nuts, because things are measured and proportioned to the right amount. We have a lot less food waste, yada, yada, yada. This is not a commercial for HelloFresh, but in a way it is. So let me know if you do want to try HelloFresh, because I'll give you a coupon code or something like that, because I get money if you do it. But it's like I said, this is not an ad for them, but it's been good. I recommend it for people that maybe struggle to, I don't know, like I know how to cook, but I don't have the time. I'm not at home every day of the week to cook dinner for my family. I can only do that on weekends. My wife doesn't like to cook a lot, but the good thing is that now that we're getting this HelloFresh thing, she is, and she's not finding it terribly difficult. And I'm also enjoying the fact that we don't have a lot of things that are just left rotting in the fridge, because we haven't used it all. We've only used a little bit for one dish. So we'll try it for a little while until we get tired of it. We'll gather up a bunch of recipes that we like. We can remake them. They give you the recipe. You can go out and buy the ingredients on your own. So we can. It's a good way of finding new foods, I think. And I think it's great that there's, even though there are a lot of recipes to choose from, a lot of things to choose from each week, it is somehow still limited enough that it actually is a good limit in sort of parameter. Whereas when I sit down and I say, well, what can we eat this week? I have the internet worth of recipes to choose from. And it's information overload, and, you know, the panic sets in, and the stress and the distress and the exhaustion of needing to choose and make a decision, asking, what do you want this week? What would you like? Yada, yada, yada. Then I have to make the grocery list. I have to take each recipe, break it down, figure out what we need, add that to the list, add that to the thing of all the other stuff we need. And it just takes forever. So it's not the most, cost efficient in that probably I could make a bunch of the meals for a bit cheaper, but the only way that that works is if I use up all the ingredients that I've purchased for that meal. The head of lettuce, all the potatoes, all the onions, all the arugula, all the whatever. I have to use it all up in order to see the benefits of it. I have to plan, right? I would have to plan to make sure that, you know, the 1 pound of ground beef that I bought is used for 3 different dishes, yada, yada, yada. Maybe we don't want that during the week. This way you can do just a little bit of each thing each day. So it works for us. It works for us. Might not be for you, but it is currently something that works well for us. So it's 10:30 now, and you've been listening to me ramble on for 26 minutes. I think I'm going to head over to Michael's, which is a craft store. I think there's Michael's in the U.S. There must be Michael's in the U.S. We're going to go over there, grab a few things to help fill out the bottom of the Christmas tree. Then I'm gonna get myself a coffee, and I get a little something to eat, and maybe I'll come back and visit a little bit more. Maybe we'll do it down at Bluffers Park, because the cleaners are in the house and they take a couple hours. So let's do that. Let's pause here. Why don't you go get a little cup of coffee, a drink or something, whatever it is you need. It's appropriate beverage for the time that you're listening, and I'll be back lickety split. Cheers. All right. So I totally forgot to get a coffee or anything like that, but that's fine, isn't it? We don't need that. I'm just going to put you down right here, because in my hand I have a little white paper bag, and you'll hear it crinkle. Oh my Lord. She gave me extra. I asked for 4 chocolates, and the lady at Laura Secord gave me 5. Bless her heart. So I should have, 2 milk chocolate maraschino cherry chocolates. And I should have, she gave me a whole bunch of extra. And I was supposed to get 2 dark chocolate almond. She gave me 4 of those. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness, I'm so lucky. Oh, what a nice lady. She's so very nice. I don't know. I'm assuming that's what... I'm guessing they're extra? Maybe they're supposed to come in that amount. I don't know. I'm going to assume that she was a nice lady. We're going to have... by the way, I'm at Bluffers Park. I've been down here forever. And the last time I was down here was... last summer, maybe? Summer before, we were down at the beach with Lily. That was a nightmare. Thought I'd pop by, see if Ken was around, but I don't see him. I just see a few other no-good-nicks around. Not that Ken's a no-good-nick. Anyway, so we're going to try the milk chocolate maraschino cherry. A lot of people don't like maraschino cherries. I love them. It's probably the reason why I actually drink a Manhattan. Anyway, let's try this out. Let's go. I'm going to get cherry all over myself, I bet. But, a nice snap to the chocolate. Candied cherry in the middle. With a sugar cream, I am guessing, that surrounds, and a little, I guess that's probably cherry syrup. It's delightful. Not overly sweet. I mean, sweet. It's definitely sweet. But it could be... It could be a lot sweeter. And I'm glad it's not. Oh, that's very nice. Okay.
And now I wish I got that chocolate. I wish I was. I wish I brought that chocolate. Or not the chocolate. The coffee. Boy. I got chocolate on my mind, don't I? I put you down again. All right, we're going to try the... This is supposed to be a dark chocolate almond, but... yeah, maybe it is. Smells like chocolate. We're going to take a little bite. Ooh. Yep. Mmm. Oh, my. Mmm, that's the stuff. A different experience. Where the maraschino cherry one was sort of a snap of chocolate into a soft center. Candy, sort of sugary, fruity center. This, of course, is a single, nicely roasted almond in the middle with kind of like a dark chocolate swirl around it. Just sort of a big, thick shell. So it's a thick bite, a big chunk of chocolate that you have to kind of chop your teeth through. And then you get that mild dark chocolate flavor, not overly sweet, which this is the way that I like it. And then that nice savory nut almond center, which goes oh so well with chocolate, especially well with dark chocolate. Oh, thank you for joining me for that. That was great. I'm sorry you have to hear me eat. Oh, that's very good. That's very good. Next time I'm going to allow the chocolate to just... Usually I don't sort of just like chew away at my chocolate. I tend to let it sit on my tongue and come to temperature, to body temperature, and to kind of like melt. And basically I suck my chocolates. M&M's take me forever to eat. Chocolate-covered almonds tend to take me forever to eat because I basically enjoy the chocolate for a while and get it kind of melted and liquidy in my mouth as I enjoy it. So I've always done that since I was a kid. I find it a nice way to enjoy the flavor of that delicious, delicious cocoa and milk and sugar that is chocolate. So I'm down here at Bluffers. It is 11:52, so it's been a little while, about an hour, I suppose, since we last spoke. I was in Michael's. I went for a few things and came out with many things, having spent more than I should have. But it's been a good year, and I can't help but feel thankful and grateful for having had such a good year, financially. And I think even sort of family-wise, I think it's been a good year. Got to spend some quality time with Clara away at Fern this year. We got to bring a friend of hers, which was nice. She got to go to camp. I don't know if she'll go back again. We got to spend some time at her friend's cottage. We made some new friends, basically. I'm most happy that Tace, my wife, has made a new friend in Clara's friend's mother. They are, in fact, going to go on a trip at March break, the four of them together. I'm going to stay home and I'm going to work. I'm going to help pay for it. I don't mind. I don't mind at all. I don't mind that they are going off to travel and have some fun together. I am happy that Tace and Clara can bond, have a mother-daughter adventure, something that they can share together and over the years look back on and remember as their special time. So that'll be exciting for them. Yeah, I think it's been a though it's been a busy year for work, returning to the office, being, you know, working in person has been difficult. It's been, you know, a lot of driving back and forth out to Etobicoke. The hours haven't been overly long for me. Some of the drives have been long, but I think we are used to it. I think I'm used to it. I think that having a couple of weeks off in the summer for the hiatus that they gave us, and then the week that we took off just saying, you know, I'm taking a week off and going away to Fern, that was good. I think it's a good precedent to set that we just make plans and I make work deal with it around me. This particular show, I think, ends, I think, in April. And we'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll see how things line up, what the next job would be. I'm not too concerned about it yet. I wouldn't mind having a little more time off come April. If I could maybe pick up another job in April that lasted 2 or 3 months, take me to July would be great. And then have the summer off. That would be awesome. It would be really great to do that. But it feels good to basically have a job that I know of that I'm going back to. Even though it is January 3rd, and on January 2nd, I have to actually go get a COVID test. But it really feels good to know that job is there, that money is coming in, that all of these, you know, last-minute purchases for Christmas that I always do, the money's there. We have it. We'll get more. So that is a positive. I still need to think a little bit more about our investing for the future, but that's a work in progress. The markets, boy, oh boy, the markets are terrible. It's not killing me. I can imagine what it's doing, though, to so many people who don't have a regular source of income. Recently retired. Things are getting expensive, and it's tough. So I don't know. I'm gonna have to make some difference this Christmas season. We've already donated a few things and to a few causes, but I think I need to up the way that I help out those in need this holiday season. So we'll have to make sure that happens. It's a gray day. It's not too bad though. It's not like sad gray. It's just sort of wintry gray. It's cloud cover. The water's calm. The swans are out in the little inlet here, the boat launch inlet at Bluffers. Heck of a lot of ducks. Got a lot of mallards out there. A couple of wood ducks I saw. I saw at least two of the swans. And there's at least half a dozen or so Canada geese down there too. What else is new? What else is there to say? Merry, Merry Christmas! Merry, Merry Christmas! There you go. take that, Jason. You can use that as much as you want. I think that's about it. That's about all I have to say. There's not much else deep, not much else happening. I guess that I really need to share. Thanks. Thanks for being a listener. Thanks for still listening. Thanks for making it this far. If you're still listening, I don't know why you actually care, but you do. And thank you. Thank you for caring. I hope that you and your loved ones are well. And I hope that 2023 brings joy, happiness, and health to you. I hope that if you are taking time during this holiday season to be with family, that it's what you want to do. That it is a joyful and peaceful time and a time for recollection and comfort. If you're not, if you're alone, I hope that you find some joy of your own in your own space. Some people prefer it that way. I hope that you get that much needed rest that I'm sure that we all need at this time of year. I've said it many, many times. I really do not like the pressure that is put upon us to enjoy various holidays throughout the year. Christmas in particular being one of those ones where it's sort of this expectation that we, you know, we keep up this childhood wonder and happiness that we once felt when we were kids, when God damn, I realize there must have been many years that my parents were not in a Christmas spirit, not in a Christmas mood, and probably not very happy, you know, probably just like struggling to just make it through with three young boys and bills and whatever, you know. Parents being sick, family members, you know, wars, whatever was going on in the world around them at the time. And yet they still powered through and they made them Merry Christmases for myself and my brothers. I'm very fortunate to have had that. But boy, like, you know, come Halloween, I start to get very, very grumpy, as it were. I am a Grinch, just because I don't know. I don't know if it's that I'm lazy. It's just the holidays, all of them, bug me. some more than others. Thanksgiving, I'm all right with whatever. It's for me. It's a excuse to have some turkey and get together with family and eat. I don't associate it with any sort of great memories or happiness or anything like that. But like Valentine's Day, oh my God, what a useless so-called holiday. Easter, well, I'm not religious. You know what? The resurrection of Christ, whatever, yada, yada, chocolate bunnies. But, you know, you get around Halloween, it's such a pain in the ass. The decorating, the costumes, everybody wants you to dress up for something. You know, you got to get candy, you got to give out candy, you got to say happy Halloween, yada, yada. I'm tired of it. and then Christmas comes around and it's like, we got to decorate a tree, we got to decorate. And I struggle to make it not about me, to make it not about how I feel at Christmas or how it puts me out. Don't get me wrong. There are certain things that I really enjoy about Christmas. And I think every time I get there, I actually do enjoy it and I love it. And I have many, many happy memories of Christmas, but part of me just wishes that we could just do without. Let's just get together and have a dinner or whatever. Why do we have to decorate trees? For the kids, for my daughter, so that she has a tradition to mark as a special point of year. I know it, there's a tradition. It really helps to mark the turning of the years and bring memories and put them into our brains so that we have things to hold on to remain happy. And it's not all about me. It's not about me. I have to remember that in so many, many parts of my life, I have to remember it's not about me. It's not about what I want. It's not about what I like. It's about others. Others in my family. It's about other people in my community. It's about other people in the world. Not just about Christmas, but things, just all things, music, art, politics, I suppose, to a certain extent. It's not all about me, and I have to keep reminding myself that. Anyway, how the hell did I get on that? I was wishing you a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. I hope that it is all you want it to be. Even 90%. All right, can we go for 90% of what you want the next year to be? Would that be good? I, you know, 100% would be great. But hey, if you get 90%, I think you're doing okay. You know what? Even 70%, right? That's a strong B. Oh, boy. Okay, I better end this. We're kind of spinning out here. I'm going to try to get home. And I'm still hungry. Those two chocolates have not done any good for me. I'm going to eat those before I get home. And then maybe I'll have some lunch. All right, my friends. Take care. We'll see you. We'll talk to you soon. Sometime in the new year. All right. Take care.